Huzzah, and welcome to Knights of the Hardcover, a podcast dedicated to discussing fantasy books, their lore, and all of the things we love about them. My name is Brandon Castle, your host from the West Coast, and joining me on this recollection of 2023 is favorite book of the year was Iron Flame. It's Chris Lauer.
Oh yes, it was a quite a book. I'll never forget it, Brandon. Thanks for the intro. I'm excited to recap 2023.
And also joining us, I have some serious bones to pick with this guy. It's Chris, or it's Zach Lemysick.
Ooh, I've been training all day, Brandon, for this moment.
Did you see my comment on Goodreads earlier?
I saw your threat, and I'm ready to respond.
It's on. All right, so for this podcast, Chris forgot how to read and is taking his sweet time. So we're doing a little intermittent podcast where we're going to talk about our favorite and least favorite books of 2023. We all read very different selection of books. I was mostly like fantasy sci-fi. Chris was kind of all over the place. And Zach read a lot of mystery and thrillers and that sort of thing. So we should have a pretty good and overarching selection of books to choose from here, and then we're just going to ask each other some questions and go through it that way. Before we get into it, though, I gotta say, man, the movie Moneyball is probably the most addicting movie of all time. I was trying to get to bed early last night, and I was like, I'm just going to throw on like 15 minutes of Moneyball. I hate baseball. I don't know why that came to my mind, and I was up till like 2 in the morning finishing that movie. I don't get it. I don't know why, but I felt like I had to bring that to your attention so you could struggle with me.
It's a good movie. You know, I recently got into, well, I was sucked into for maybe like a month. I was sucked into Moneyball TikTok, where just every once in a while, I'd just get barrage of Moneyball. It just basic scenes, you know? So I just watched scenes as they came along, and it made me want to watch the movie. I'm not sure if I ever did, but I feel like I did because I got all the scenes on TikTok.
Moneyball TikTok, huh? Oh, there is something for everyone there.
Yeah, I've not made it to that corner of TikTok yet.
You'll get there. You'll get there.
I'm still working on downloading the app. Still at 65% there. So one of these days, it'll just finish downloading.
It takes a while to copy all the data from your phone to send back to China. So
true.
You have to download.
True. Yeah, I do have an ad blocker on there too. That might affect things. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But anyway, so the reason that we did this podcast actually is we all read the book Fourth Wing, which was really taking the world by storm, and we wanted to talk about it, but we didn't want to do a normal podcast because we didn't care that much about it. And so we're going to start off the pod with a brief and potentially violent conversation about Fourth Wing, and we'll go from there, ask each other some questions, talk about our favorite books, things like that. But I have not read Iron Flame. I believe both of you guys have, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll start off and just give my thoughts on Fourth Wing, and then you guys can kind of take it from there with talking about both books together. The book sucked a lot, actually. But the thing that really pissed me off the most about this book is like it had the potential to be good. It would start being like good, and then it would just fall off a cliff, and then there'd be like 50 pages of just her being like, I want to fuck that guy. I like his body. I'm so hard. And it's just like, she used the word hard, like, I don't know, 50, 60 times in that book talking about guys' bodies. And I just like, I couldn't take it anymore. I'm all right with romance and books. I can't take the descriptions and the, go ahead.
How did you feel about, the nickname, his nickname for Violet?
Violence?
Yeah, Violence.
I thought that was really sweet and endearing. No, what?
What the fuck was that? Oh, yeah. Gosh.
And for like, yeah, okay. I didn't realize that he was saying violence. I listened to it, so I didn't realize he was saying violence until like the last 3 or 4 pages of the book. I thought he was just saying Violet the entire time. And then I was like, wait, did he say violence? And I asked my wife, and she's like, yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah.
Oh.
He'll say violence, and she'll be like, oh my God, that's so hot. I'm like, what? Why?
Basically, anything that main guy says, she's just like, I can't. I'm so wet. And it's like, okay. We were just talking about dragons, but now we're doing this. And the other part that really made me mad about it was like, there's a lot of women. This is mostly like women really like this book. it's been kind of heralded as like a book for young women, and like it shows like a lot of tropes and things that are good for developing like women. But then she's the ultimate damsel in distress the entire book. Every single thing that happens, she's rescued by a guy or rescued by her older sister. Her older sister was awesome. Should have been a book about her. She was great. I really enjoyed her as a character. But just every fucking scene, she was just getting rescued by somebody. I was like, what can she do? Like, if she wasn't bonded by that one dragon, she would have not been able to do anything. And she would have died immediately.
And it gets worse. It gets worse than Iron Flame, too.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. She has it. She gets to have it both ways. She gets to be completely useless at everything she does and terrible at everything. But then everybody, the way that they talk about her, she's so fierce and she's unstoppable. And there's nothing you can do to take her down except for, I don't know, like trip her and she'll like break her arm. You know, like she's so helpless.
Yeah, that was the, what? Why was she so fragile? Like what? She just like made of glass? Like every page she was talking about how small and like how her knees needed to be bandaged up and stuff. And I asked my wife, I was like, does she have cerebral palsy? Is that something that comes up later or something? And she's like, no, she's what? And she's like very confused by that. And I thought she was like a disabled person until halfway through it. And then I found out that she wasn't. She's just small, I guess.
I think she does have some sort of like muscular or bone issues, because the author of the book has that. So I think she wrote her character to have some of those issues that would make sense. Experiencing.
Yeah, that does make sense.
I can't be for sure on that, but there's definitely a relationship with the author's kind of health struggles or what she has and Violet. But yeah, I mean, the way that's written for Violet is not good.
Well, if she has it, then say she has it. If she doesn't, then stop talking about how small and like terrible and unathletic she is every freaking page.
Yeah, but she's also the greatest.
But I also mean, this, the greatest, yeah.
This book is like the definition of tell, don't show. Like, I've never seen anything on the page that warrants her being smart or clever. It's always anyone else telling her, like, you're smart, you're so clever, you're so dangerous. It's just, I don't know. It's tough because, like, I've heard this is a book that got like a lot of people, especially like younger people, to start like reading again. So if they like it, that's fine. I guess I just have a problem with people saying like this is like the best book ever and it's great. For me, it's just one of those like C tier blockbuster movie that you'd get where it's like, I just want an action movie. I know it's going to be shitty, but I'm going into it knowing it's going to be a fun, stupid, turn off your brain. Let's laugh at all the tropes. Like that, if that was like the vibe that everyone's having with it, then I would appreciate it more. But the fact that people are like taking it seriously and being like, this is actually a good work of literature, that's where I'm like, all right, you can have fun with it and recognize that it's a shitty book.
This is gonna be adapted too, you know, like
for sure.
I don't know if the deals are already done, but I think so. Maybe if Iron Flame, because Iron Flame's well received as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Very. I mean, yeah, I've got a lot of like TikToks of people saying like it's shitty who like loved Fourth Wing, but all the reviews online are giving it good stars. I don't know. I think my biggest pet peeve, it's like one of them, is like the tagline for the book is fly or die. And Violet famously can't fly. Every time she tries to fly, she falls off and her dragons has to save her, and she never learns how to fly. They have to like build her a saddle. Yeah, they have to like build her a saddle so she can fly. So she doesn't even like complete like the log line of the fly or die. I was just so annoyed by that. I don't know. Just all the stakes were all fake. Like, why are you killing off all your cadets when you only have so little of them? Because you just want the luckiest. Even like the beginning where it's like, we're just gonna drop you off on like this rainy side of a castle, and you have to run across the castle roof or whatever.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
Why? And like multiple people died. And it's like, why? Why are you doing this? Like, just all the stakes were fake. Just, yeah, the romance was bad. That like forced proximity where it's like, ooh, I guess we have to see each other like every other day. Otherwise, our Drakens will die, which means we'll die. Like,
ugh.
All those tropes, everything was just so bad. And yeah, this is what I mean when I say, like, I hate first person books. It's like this kind of writing style where I did this and then I saw this and this person said this and this did this. So
yeah.
It's just like, you have to stick
with her. I get it
with
this book. I get it with this book. The first person, not good for this book.
Yeah.
Too much introspection from the main character. Couldn't take it.
Oh, and her introspection is terrible. But this is the thing about the book is you get the feeling that the author's like not in on how bad it is. You know what I mean? Like, she thinks that this is all like very heroic. It's kind of hard to explain.
Let me tell you guys too, as someone that's seen all the books coming out in the next couple years, we're going to be getting a lot more of this too.
Oh, I know.
More of it.
Let's and go on book talk.
Yeah, I can see like, maybe cut this. I don't know. But I can see like what the media and publisher like marketing plans are for each book. And it's going to be shoved down our fucking throats over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Every 2 months.
These Wattpad authors literally getting away with this.
Yeah.
The Wattpad ranking. Yeah. What annoyed me in the first book is how long that Vi held on to, like, oh, this guy wants to kill me. This guy wants to kill me. When it was so clear that he did not want to kill her. And it's like the same thing in Iron Flame, where it just shifts from, oh, he wants to kill me, to, oh, he's not honest with me. He's not honest with me. He's not honest with me. And it's just so incessant and it's so terrible. But you get the feeling that the author thinks that it's noble.
Yeah, like, oh man, I don't want to be mean to like the author or something, but like, has she talked to it? Like, has she had a relationship before?
Like, she's just Mormon.
Oh, so no, she has.
Whoa.
Or she's one.
I don't know, but
are her and Brandon Sanderson pals?
I don't know.
God, I hope not.
They probably are.
What if they collab on the next Starsight book?
Oh no. Iron we'll Flames to get to and that. Fucking Cosmere.
Yeah, I don't want to spend like too much time on this, but I didn't and won't read Iron Flame. What's the general gist of it?
She like doesn't trust. Yeah, it's the same. It's like year two of the school. She doesn't know if she could trust what's his face. Even though she has like no reason not to. And he's also like, I'm really high up in whatever the rebel rank is, and you just got here. Like, of course I can't tell you all of her deepest, darkest secrets. And then he does tell her some secrets, and then she immediately blabs it to other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
That's kind of that's like 90% of the vibe. It's like, why won't he tell me about the top secret plans? Yeah. And then her friends being like, let us in.
Yeah. They start working with Griffin Riders against the Wyvern.
The most predictable shit you can guess about the dragons happen.
You remember in Fourth Wing when they're like first introducing whatever the big bad dragon is, and they're just like talking about it. It's in like the first few pages, and they're like, there's this one dragon, it's bigger and more powerful than the rest, and no one's seen it in years. And I was just like, well, if she's gonna find that, she's gonna ride that, and she's gonna be the most powerful. Like, what are we doing here? And then, like, I don't know, 20 chapters later, then that happens. I was like, why would if you're going to set up foreshadowing like that obvious, just do it with a fucking next chapter. Like, why?
Yeah. Well, and then also she has two dragons, right? So her second dragon, the Feather Tail, we find out is a purple dragon. It's a new color of dragon that, that has existed, but people forgot about it or something like that. And she can stop time. Is that in the first book?
Yeah, it's in the first one. Or she can basically just do whatever she wants in the first one. But yeah, I think it's stop time at the end.
Oh. I don't know. I don't remember really what else happened. Dane comes back to her side. Her mom. I don't really remember what happened with her mom. They basically like destroyed the school, didn't they?
Yeah, the whole book, they're trying to like figure out how to make the wards or whatever, and Violet, being the smartest person ever, cannot crack the code, even though it was super obvious what it was, of how to get the wards up or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It was just so painful.
I will not be reading. So that sounded like the most boring shit. All right. So what does this mean? What does this mean? Why is this book so popular? What does this mean going forward? Is this like a shift?
I think it's mostly like the smut revolution, mm-hmm. where it's a really big genre, and a lot of people really like these books. And sometimes, and I think putting like soft fantasy into these kind of books that have always been very, very popular, is just becoming more and more popular. And then people are being exposed to these new tropes that they had never seen before, and that are tried and true. Like we say it as a knock that Fourth Wing is a walking trope, you know. But I think that's a positive for people that don't know the genre, because they get to experience all these tropes all packaged together in one book. So I think that's a lot of it. But what do you guys think?
I think we're in for quite the shift in storytelling for fantasy. It's been evolving over the last 20 years and becoming more complex, more world building. It's become more like it has a lot of barriers to entry, I feel like, in it for the most part, especially the last, you know, like whatever, 30 years of fantasy. And things like this have a low barrier of entry because you basically just have to like have a third grade reading level to read this. And so it's going to lower the barrier of entry. And this is just going to be fantasy now. It's every one of them is going to have some kind of weird ass love story in it, or the popular fantasy, I guess, not all fantasy. But I mean, think about like, I don't know, Bloodsworn Saga. It's one of the best fantasy I've read in a while. And no one has talked about that. I didn't see that on any best fantasy lists. I didn't see that on any like anything really. Well, Hunger of Gods got a little bit, but the first book got nothing. And so it's just like, I think we're gonna lose that style of fantasy, and it's gonna be replaced with smut, as you said, Chris.
Yeah, I agree with both you guys. It's very easy to read, and it's digestible. And if you never read fantasy, but you're looking to expand your like romance style books, this is like a great, great pivot. Because like in a lot of the romance books, tropes are huge into romance, and people will seek out, I am looking for a enemies to lovers romance. I'm looking to like exes to lovers or forced proximity. Like you get really specific with like the book recs. And I do think this is like a big pivot for fantasy. Because I feel like back in like Lord of the Rings, maybe even tad a bit Wheel of Time-y, they're much more like whimsical and not necessarily easy to read, but it was very fantasy. And then late 90s, 2000s, you did that hard pivot with Game of Thrones and the gritty, grim, dark fantasy. And I think it's just another evolution where we get these romantic fantasy or whatever it's called now on
romanticy.
Yeah. So I think it's just another evolution that we've had. It's almost like the pendulum swung the other way, where I got too grim, dark, nitty gritty, real life, to way back the other way, where it's more, I guess, not even whimsical, but I don't know how you would describe it. Just another evolution. But yeah, I'm not a big fan that it's taken off. I think TikTok clings on to some of these books that make other people want to read them, so they buy into the hype. And I don't know, my thing is like, if you enjoy reading it and you enjoy it, but you can't call it, it's like, well, you can't say it's well written, you can't say the dialogue's good. Like that's kind of where I draw the line of, you can like shitty books, I like a lot of shitty books, but you just can't say it's good.
And I mean, like, yeah, like you said, like whatever you like. I mean, we love Brandon Sanderson. We know he's not like the greatest writer by any means.
He's so simple. He writes so simple.
But I love it. I mean, Rebecca Yarros makes him look like fucking Tolkien. Like, this is crazy. I'm all for whatever. Whatever's in the book, I don't care. As long as it's like either well written or like a good story. It has to be one of the two. And this was neither of those. And so that's unfortunate to see. But anyways, do you have something to add, Chris?
No, I was just gonna shut the door on. I was just gonna shut the door on the Rebecca Yarros for our pod. I think it's better for everybody. our five listeners and us.
Yeah. My blood's
right now.
Leave
it in 2023.
Blood's boiling.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, except until the third one comes out, and then I have to like advertise that. That's gonna be fun. But
yeah, how about that?
That'll be great. But yeah, let's get to hop your topics. Let's go around the board and talk about let's do our favorite book of 2023, which is a tough question, and I don't know how I'm gonna answer that, but
yeah, I'll start. I don't know. I didn't pick a favorite book for 2023, but I just wrote down like four book recs. So I'll just give one of these ones that I was gonna give here. I'll start out with This Is How You Lose the Time War. This would be in the conversation for my favorite book of the year. And I guess it really is kind of a novella, maybe. But I just love this book. It for me, it kind of came out of nowhere. It might have been a TikTok recommendation. I can't remember where I heard about this. But just really blew me away. The most unique book I read of the year. The kind of book that you want to read again. And I just really liked it. We talked about it here on the pod, but I had to give it some shine.
Yeah, man, that book is having a real moment right now. I went to Powell's a few weekends ago, and that was like the number two book as far as sales went at Powell's.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, holy shit, this thing's taking off. And I think Max Gladstone, I believe, is one of the authors. I think he has a new book coming out here in the next couple of months. So,
oh, nice.
Looks interesting.
Sure. What about you guys? What you got any rec, or what was your favorite book of 23?
Zach, take it.
Okay. I mean, I have a few. I don't know if we're just going around the room or not. I kind of broke it down into a couple different categories, but I think these are like my favorite books. I think my favorite book / favorite fiction book is Fingersmith by Sarah Walters. I think I've like mentioned this a few times.
Yeah.
One of those where guys like went into it blind and I just had a really, really nice, really nice time with it.
Oh yeah.
What's that one about?
I don't want to give too much away, but essentially it's like a period piece, like Victorian era, of kind of this like orphanage-y place that's filled with like thieves, not the best kind of kids or people. And this guy comes that they know. He's like, hey, I'm trying to pull a fast one on this rich family, I'm trying to marry the daughter. So then I can essentially take all of her money, but I need you, like the main character, to play like her maid. That way she can be like left alone with me, with you in the room too. And I need someone that I can trust. So she's like sent to this rich girl's house, like become her like handmaiden or whatever. Mm. And it's to like deceive her. And that's kind of like the initial plot of the book.
Hmm.
Oh, nice.
It was like it's very interesting.
What's it called again?
Fingersmith.
Fingersmith by Sarah Waters. If you have an Audible premium membership, it's a free book. You could just listen to it. You don't have to buy it. I just threw it into my library.
I might have to check out the audiobook because I read it. I'm not quite sure what the audiobook would sound like. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was very interesting.
Is the main character's name Gentleman?
Yeah, that's like the guy he's not the main character. He's one of the main characters. He's like the guy that's like trying to woo the rich girl, and he needs this like orphan to play the role in his scheme.
Interesting. Yeah, this looks good. I just added it to my want to read, which now has like 280 books, so it doesn't really mean anything, but it's on there.
What about you, Brandon?
My favorite book of the year. God damn it. I wrote this down before I saw your thing on Goodreads too, Zach. So this made me. That's why it made me super mad. But
my favorite. I enjoyed it.
No, you didn't. Don't lie to me.
Oh no.
My favorite book of the year was Symphony of Secrets. It's essentially about like a composer who, or he's like a composing historian who gets a call about like one of his favorite composers. They've been searching for like his lost manuscript or his lost symphony. And so he goes and like tries to uncover the secrets of the symphony and rewrites it and everything. But then through that, they find like some some symbols on it, and it takes you back to flashbacks of the composer and like his housemaid, sort of. And it's like the story between them. It's a book about like race and like what, how things were different in the 1800s with the music industry and things like that. And how a lot of black people didn't really get credit for a lot of the work they did. And so I'm typically not a person that loves like flashbacks in a book, but this was like large chunks of flashbacks. So it'd be like a few chapters in the present and then a few chapters back in time. And then it switched back that way. But I just
kind of like parallel storytelling, maybe more than like a flashback here and there.
Yeah, it's more of that. And then it like kind of all comes to one mystery. But I thought the race stuff was done really well, both in the present and the past. And I just thought the characters were all really fun and also sometimes tragic. And I just thought it really had like every element of a good book in it. And
oh yeah.
One that I just had never even heard of until someone recommended it to me and I loved it. So that'd be my book of the year. Also, I read
book of the year.
Absolutely. It wasn't even close for me, honestly, but I also read the entire Expanse series. So that's a close tie. Just not really like comparable books really at all. So, yeah.
Let's... Cool. And Zach liked it as well.
Yeah, let's go. Let's finish this conversation. 3 stars, Zach. What the fuck?
It's a 3.5. I was debating about doing it a 4.
Why? Why?
Well, I don't want to say too much with Chris here.
Oh, you don't like black people?
I didn't quite understand people's motivations.
I feel like the motivations were pretty simple, though.
Yeah, but I don't know. I felt like it was too like drastic. Like the way the main character acted right away when he saw like the initials on the piece of paper.
Well, that dude was a dork, though. Something like that would definitely get him excited.
Yeah, but just like the way how that played out, I wasn't agreeing with the way that they went about certain things.
All right. I guess I think I know what you're talking about, and I can kind of agree with that. That's the end of it, the very, very end was like the weakest part. I agree with
There's a couple of those like leaps where I'm like, wait, why are we rushing to this conclusion, or why are we, you know? But I did like enjoy it.
Yeah, the end felt like, you know, like let's wrap this up and happy ending. And you're like, okay, that's
fine. Yeah. And it was like a little too long. And I know someone who just recommended a really long book of
Zach said something's too long. Who would have guessed? Let me guess. They should have turned some in the middle.
Yeah, or the beginning. I think his editor's like, you need to trim something. So he trimmed the ending, which he should have trimmed the beginning. But I mean, Fingersmith is like really long too. And Fingersmith maybe should have been cut, but I enjoyed all that. But
yeah, Fingersmith's a 600 page book with a guy named Gentleman in it. Oh, whatever. Agree to disagree. Zach, we're always going to be on opposite ends of our opinions on books.
I liked it. I just didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was bad. There's a couple things that dropped it from great to good.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Let's, what questions do we got here? Zach, kick us off.
Okay. Let's look here. Okay, Chris and I already can't touch base on this, but Brandon, what was your worst read of 2023?
Oh, man. I read like 3 stinkers in a row right at the beginning of 2024. And so I wish I could choose one of those. I'm just going to choose one anyways. I read it like January 2nd, so it kind of counts. The second TJ Klune book, this In Lives of Puppets, was just a terribly, terribly written book. It's like about robots that live on this island, and they all have like, I don't know, they're all like very socially aware robots, and they all talk like they're children, but they're like, it's written like it's for like a YA book or like even a children's book, but they're saying like dirty and weird shit the entire time. And it just, oh, every time anyone talked in that book, I could not stand it. Also, I read Fourth Wing last year, so throw that into consideration as well. Overall, though, I didn't really read a whole lot of bad books in 2023. I'm trying to.
Yeah, in 2024, let's not finish books.
Yeah,
DNF, for sure. DNF books. If you're not enjoying it, don't read it.
You know? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd probably be, I mean, you might throw like Black Tongue Thief into there, but that was nowhere as bad as this In Lives of Puppets. So, yeah, it's definitely those two. Fourth Wing and that, just terrible.
Okay. I guess real quick, how many books did you guys read here in 2023?
I just hit my goal of 20. Just at the end of the year, I barely hit it.
What about you, Zach?
Was it a race to the end?
I did 68.
Damn.
Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of it was audio and, you know, reading too.
That still counts.
Yeah.
Nice. I did 50. I had a goal of 50 and I hit 50. Nice.
Nice. I do love the Goodreads goal. This was the first year I ever used Goodreads. And tracking the books in that way, I really enjoyed it. So that really probably defines my 2023. It's just that almost I read with more of an intention. You know, I had to get to 20. I wanted to get those 20 books, and I raised my goal from 20 to 30. So I plan on hitting 30 this year in 2024. So Goodreads year 2023 for me.
Well, that's good.
The old gamification. It's working.
That's right.
Gotta love Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that kind of segues, Chris, into the next one of kind of what were your 2023 reading habits?
This is well documented. I went through a slump. If you've listened to this podcast, I went through a pretty hefty slump there in the middle of the year. I just wasn't in the mood for reading for a long time. But so it was like beginning of the year, I read a lot. End of the year, I read a lot because I had to get my 20 in. But middle of the year, not much.
What was the book that caused the slump? Was it Black Tongue Thief?
No, it might have been Black Tongue Thief. I think it might have been like Poppy War, actually. Because that book just really got into my head, but I don't remember exactly when it was. I'd have to look back.
I just finished that trilogy, by the way. So good. Yeah.
The Poppy War trilogy. You like the
Next. Second one was all right, but I thought the third book was fucking awesome.
What about you guys? Do you have any trends or anything like that?
I was really stuck on the Expanse series for a long time because that was 5,000 pages between the 9 books. So that really took over my year of reading. And then we had the secret projects thrown in there every 3 months, which was a nice little surprise. I tried to be a little bit more diverse in my reading and not just do sci-fi and fantasy. So I threw in some like Kristen Hanna, Khaled Hosseini, stuff like that to kind of switch it up. And then I got on a bit of a war kick at one point. I was reading a lot of war books. I read All Quiet on the Western Front while I was backpacking. And so like I was like sleeping in my hammock. I felt like I was in war. And it was really fun. Like, I don't know. I was just listening to it at night and I was just like, oh God, no one attacked me.
You were method reading.
Yeah. And so I don't know, it just really got me into World War II, World War I books for a bit. But yeah, I also really enjoyed Kristen Hanna. Didn't expect that, but she's a very good author, and I've liked her book so far.
Yeah, she's good.
What about you, Zach?
I think my reading habits are kind of the same last couple of years, where it's definitely I'll be in the zone for a couple months nonstop, but then we'll take a month or two off and back at it. I think kind of my trends this year was towards the end, I got more into like nonfiction books than I normally do. Usually I'm kind of anti nonfiction. But to do a sneak, other favorite book of mine this year was The Spy and the Traitor. It's kind of a nonfiction Cold War book about a Soviet spy, which I thought was like really good, really well written. Kept my interest.
Yeah, this looks good. Oh, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So that was kind of like my trend this year was towards the end of the year, I got more into some nonfiction and hopefully to keep that up. But then also to usually I read a lot of contemporary books written, you know, the past year and a half or so. And I've really kind of tried to read books that are older than like 20 years old too, to kind of expand it. So those are kind of my 2023 trends looking back on it.
Do you have a strong preference one way or the other, like modern books versus, you know, 20, 30 plus year old books?
Maybe, I don't know. I think it kind of depends. I feel like I've noticed a decline in some of the modern books, but maybe just because I'm on Book Talk and they recommend, oh, you know, you have to read X, Y, and Z. And then I think I carved out the right book and then I don't really like it. But it might be one of the things of those old books where it's like, as time goes on, the good books kind of rise to the top and the bad books kind of sink to the bottom, versus like nowadays you'll have to sift through everything, you know, just kind of like with music. So it's been, I guess, easier to find good books that are, you know, 20, 30 years old versus good books that are written today.
Yeah.
But I guess it just kind of depends on what mood you're in.
Yeah. Reading like modern or like current books is tough because you have like the people that are really into reading that read it first, review it. It becomes popular because of them. But those people have a very specific thing they're looking for, I think, a lot of the times. And it's not like what I like to read. And so it makes it tough to like find current books that are good. And Book Talk's ruined everything, but you know, it's besides the point.
Well, Zach, what you were saying did make me remind me of a question I wanted to ask you, because you had a really I can't think of the right word, but robust 2023 on your Goodreads, the 68 books, you know, you spanned all sorts of different genres, but one that caught my eye was White Noise. Is that a book you would recommend? Is that a pretty good one? It kind of maybe it just had a good cover, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I loved White Noise. I was debating. I mean, it's probably like in my top five of the year. They made a movie of it. It's on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet. Noah Baumbach directed it with like Adam Driver. And the book was really good. It's kind of a satire-y book. So if you're kind of into, I guess, satire books, I think you'd really enjoy it. There is some like not end of the world vibes, but there is some like that stress with it. There's like a chemical leak that's kind of over this town. So the town's kind of freaking out about it. But it's written kind of in a satirical way. But I really enjoyed it. It was a Sean Fennessy rec. It's his favorite book of all time.
Nice.
Favorite book all time, huh?
All time. Yeah, huh? He's a movie guy. Yeah. I wonder what he thinks about the show.
Pardon? Oh, wait, let me look here. Which one? White Noise, you said? Okay, yeah.
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 Huh.
Yep, that's... So yeah, if you're into like a satirical book, I do recommend it.
I haven't read a satire in a while, so I give that a try.
Yeah. Well, and Brandon, I looked at your year in review as well, and the highest rated book that you read on Goodreads was The Nightingale. Does it measure up to its high rating?
Yeah, that one 100%. Like, honestly, yeah. That was just like an incredibly good, well-written, interesting story. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's anything. There's a big trend right now of like writing books and telling stories about what women were doing in World War II while the men were off to war. And I didn't think that was going to be something that was gonna be like very interesting to me, but it turns out I'm like fascinated by that because it's just something I never really thought about before, and so I really really enjoyed that book. And then read The Great Alone right before that too, and both of those were just excellent Kristen Hannah books.
Okay,
nice. The only one of hers I've read so far is The Four Winds. I really liked that one.
Yeah, Erin's on that one right now and she's really enjoying it too. So yeah, I'll probably dive back into her at some point this year and read Four Winds as well. She just came out with it might have came out last month. She just came out with a new book called The Women, which is about women in Vietnam. which I've kind of heard mixed reviews on that one, but I might give that a try too.
Yeah. Do you like historical fiction?
Love it. Love historical fiction. Anything in the World War II era, I'll read it. You know, like, I don't care what it's about or who it's about. I will read that book. Zach, when you got into your kind of nonfiction phase, were you reading a lot of like memoirs and biographies and stuff like that, or was it mostly like historical, like The Spy and the Traitor here?
I guess mostly historical. I mean, for me, like, literally I go from like zero books to, I think I did like six or seven. I think I started with Killers of the Flower Moon, and I really enjoyed that.
Oh, you like that one? I just bought that. I'm really excited.
Yeah. So I listened to his like two other books. So I enjoyed that. They're all kind of like that, where it's about like a specific topic. Then, yeah, the Traitor and the Spy, that one's about the Cold War. I read one called Say Nothing about like some murders and kidnapping in Ireland during like the Troubles, like that era. And like that was really interesting. And then kind of like a rando one was like The Art Thief, which is more set like in modern day. And that's a fiction book about an art thief.
I've seen that one. I've seen that one around a lot. Looks good.
Yeah. So I guess those are like off the, you know, looking at my Goodreads quickly, like those are like the main ones. Those like seven books, nonfiction, or yeah, those seven like nonfiction book I read the last half of this year, which, like I said, usually going from zero to that was a big step to me.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to do some more nonfiction this year. You've inspired me.
Hey,
I have good. So many on my to read list, and I just never get around to them. So I'm going to. I guess I read a couple last year, like Educated, which was an also awesome book. But yeah. All right, I got a question for y'all. So of the books that you read last year, you have to get one tattoo on your body of something from one of those books. What are you putting on your body? Can't be Brandon Sanderson.
Well, it's obviously going to be a dragon.
Oh, for Iron Flame.
Fourth Dragon, Iron Flame, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Let's see. Let me look at my books. Man, do you have one in mind, Brandon?
No, I asked that question and immediately was like, what would I do? I have no idea.
Oh, I definitely get like a robin or something like that. Some bird from How to Lose a Time War. That's definitely what I do.
That not actually... from Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Yeah, it's a double whammy.
That'd be a good one. That'd be a good tattoo too. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, honestly, I might do it. Well, we'll see.
Oh, mine's easy. I'd get the Rocinante from the Expanse series tattooed. I might actually do this, but like along my forearm. Oh, with the Rocinante tattooed there.
That's their ship.
Yeah. And it's a Don Quixote reference too. So kind of cool as well. Zach?
I think I would do a fox from the Thursday Murder Club. That's like a book series I've probably talked about quite a bit. There's always like a fox on like the cover of all the books, and this came out with the new one this year, The Last Devil to Die.
It's like the cartoony fox, right?
Yeah, it's like the cozy murder mysteries about this retirement community.
That'd be a freaking cool tattoo, actually.
Yeah, and the fox kind of appear. I don't know if it appears in all the books, but there was some like big meaning to the fox in this latest book that was really sweet. So I think if I had to do one of like the books I read this year, I think it'd be like that cartoon fox. I guess I did not enjoy this book at all. The Who Moved My Cheese, one of those like motivational business minded books. So I think I'd make him like tattoo like a freaking chunk of cheese on their arm.
That's funny.
Who Moved My Cheese?
Does remind me though. I read this Unreasonable Hospitality book that I really liked, which is kind of like a businessy type of one of those kind of books, the kind of book your boss would give you. But I really liked it. So if you're looking for that kind of book. I'd recommend it.
What was it called?
Unreasonable Hospitality. It's the author basically ran a really, he ran like a really successful restaurant in New York City. And the book's kind of about that, but his philosophy like really is just like, you're going to be unreasonable and how far you go to, you know, like please the customer or whatever. But he uses it in a bunch of different contexts, how it's just kind of like a good life. Just a good way to live life, you know.
Interesting.
And run a business.
I haven't read a business book in a while, so I probably won't, but good rec. We got some other questions here, or what are we thinking?
I don't know if there's any other 2023 questions you guys want to hit, or we could go into kind of what our 2024 like reading goals are.
Yeah, let's do that. How long have we been talking here? Does it give me a time? Oh yeah, let's do that. All right. What do you guys, what's your reading goal for this year? Is it, Chris, you said 30?
Yep.
How far are you on that now?
I've read 3 books so far.
All right. Are you on track?
It says I'm on track, but I haven't done the math.
Dude, it sucks when you get like 3 or 4 behind and you're like, oh my God, I got to start reading.
Yeah. Well, at the end of last year, I was way far behind.
I think all three.
I read like 8 books in the last month.
Damn. Did you read any books last year, Chris, or did you listen to all of them?
I probably read some. I really don't keep track. I mostly listen to books, but sometimes I read them. But I really can't tell after it's done. You know, it's just like the book's been consumed, whether I read it or I listened to it.
Yeah. Makes sense. All right, Zach, what's your goal for 24?
I have a couple different. I mean, I think my book goal is 70, which I'm, I guess, 1 book behind schedule. But I've been kind of like in a slump, so that's fine. I think my goal, my big goal is I want to read Lonesome Dove this year. It's a big, like, thick boy. And I want that to be kind of my nightstand book, you know, kind of knock out 10, 20 pages a night. My other goal is I want to finish Lord of the Rings, and I want to read more. I'm a big like Agatha Christie fan, so I definitely want to kind of read more of her books too this year. I usually try to read like 2 books a year from her, and I maybe want to try some more of that. Maybe read 4 or 5.
She's got a lot, so
yeah, she has a whole lot.
Plenty to choose from.
Yeah, so I think those are my big 2024 goals.
All right. I set mine at 50 again, but I'm already 6 books ahead of schedule, so I might have to adjust that a little bit. I hit it hard in January. And then also I can like read for work a little bit too. So I'm going to have 24 books I have to read for work. So I'll probably end up like upping that a little bit, but, I'm very excited to finish the last book of the Scholomance series, which is like a darker version of Harry Potter type series. That it's a trilogy. I've been really liking that one. I'm excited for The Daughter's War, actually, the Black Tongue Thief prequel. It actually sounds, and from what I've read of it so far, is pretty good. So I'm excited about that one to come out. And then, of course, the Brandon Sanderson we got coming. Looking forward to that.
Oh yeah.
Gonna probably have to start a reread here in like June or so.
Yeah.
At least Rhythm of War.
Yeah, that's my big, that was my goal, was to physically reread all the Stormlight books, but that might have to pivot to some audiobooks in that too.
It's funny talking to people at work who they read 120, 200 books a year, somewhere in that range, and talking to them, and they're like, have you read this book and this book and this book? I was like, nah, for like 3 years, all I did was read Brandon Sanderson. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Like, that was the only books I read. So I have a bit of a gap in those 3 years. Are we going to Dragon Con or what? No, can't.
This year?
We have a friend's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no. Same day.
The one friend of ours that does not read any Brandon Sanderson picked the day of the book and the day of the con to get married.
Yeah.
Well, shit, I might not be invited to that, so maybe I'll just go. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you guys want to say? Any last wrap ups here? Nope. All right.
No, I don't think so.
We're going to come back with our series on the Broken Earth trilogy. We're going to cover all three of those. So that'll be coming up after this or before this. Who knows? Thank you all for listening. And as always, we are the Knights of the Hardcover. I should have come with more questions. Felt underprepared.